peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor. I am a housewife who has not figured it out. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being a part of episode number 99. And we've got a lot coming up on the program today. Pastor Linda is back with us. We're going to talk about love, about menfolk, about marriage. Jim and I, my husband, just celebrating 17 years of marriage. Linda and Errol just celebrating 35 years of marriage. And she always keeps it real. So we're going to have a fun conversation about that. Also, the first and biggest thing that I want to do is share an initiative that's been really hard for me to not spill the beans on, but it's time now. So I want to tell you something that our family has prayed about, put together, and the hope, the prayer is that it will change a life forever. But I need your help. So we're going to get into that. Hopefully I can explain without sobbing into the microphone. And that's right out of the gate what I want to go into as we start the show. So 6 years ago, right about now, my husband and I walked into an orphanage in Częstochowa, Poland with some diapers and a blanket and open arms to pick up our daughter, Karolina. And our lives have never been the same since then. And if you don't know our adoption story, I invite you just to check it out, encourage you to watch a recent segment on EWTN. I was honored to have the opportunity to appear on the Jim and Joy show. And there I go into a lot more detail, but just to give you the abbreviated version, Karolina's birthday is on June 30th. She will be 7 this year, which I can't believe, but she was born in 2010, 6 weeks premature, early in a place called Bytom, Poland, and taken directly to an orphanage and a special needs orphanage, which at the time we didn't know, but they were equipped to give her the care she needed. And that's where she spent the first 11 months of her life. Waking up, being fed, being changed, nurtured, and cared for in the company of an orphanage full of other babies as well, kiddos, all waiting for a family and for someone to bring them home and love them as the child of God that they are. And when you go to a place like that, you never forget it. I still think about it, and it's been 6 years. You just want to take every single one of those children home. And so her birthday is coming up, and here's the deal. I have seen my girlfriends plan get-togethers for their daughters and big birthday parties. Karolina's never been invited, except for once in her life. She's never been asked to be a part of that or get together with friends, braid their hair, do any of that sort of thing. And that's okay. I have complete peace about that. But as she turns 7, she's mostly nonverbal. I know that she's not going to hand me a list of things that she wants for her birthday. And I think that there's a lesson in that. We picked her up from the orphanage and they gave us a brown paper bag. And the funny thing is that brown paper bag is actually one that we had given them because when we went for our first trip in April of that year where we could go and spend a week with her, meet her, then go home and sob and wait, be ripped away from our daughter that we fell in love with. And then you have to wait until you get the call to go back again. But the first trip when we visited, we had gone to a store and bought her a few things, some sleepers and a few clothing items. And so that bag they saved. And on magic marker, they had written Karolinki, which is a term of endearment for her. And so inside that bag were 2 bottles, a crib sheet, a pillow that she still uses. And that was it. That was all the belongings she had accumulated in 11 months of her life. But we had the biggest gift, right? We had each other. We had her, she had us. And I think that's what I want to go back to. That's what I try to think about. That exchange has been something that has so profoundly impacted my life and the lesson of what we need. It's funny because with all my other kids, we had this big baby shower and all these things, and it was wonderful and useful. But I also see the power in the simplicity of just life. Just Carolina. That's what we had and that's all we needed. Over the weekend, this weekend, we bought this little small backyard pool and my husband was inflating it. There was just a few inches of water in there, but Carolina, she had her church clothes on, so she was fully clothed. And before I could stop her, she was so excited. She ran out and jumped in that thing. And again, it was only like up to her ankles, so not a big deal. And my husband was there, but she just started to have the time of her life, splashing, laughing. And the thing with Carolina is when she has a time of her life, I really mean it. I mean, she is laughing from a place deep inside her spirit and just living to the full. And so to kind of take it back, when I realized that we were on our program approaching the 100th show around the same time of our wedding anniversary, around the same time of our Gotcha Day with Carolina, and a month before her birthday, I wanted to do something that has been on my heart for a really long time. And I think also Carolina's heart, if she could articulate it, and that is to help other kids like her. The children in the same orphanage or the institutions or foster care centers in Poland that are waiting for a family and the family that's waiting for them. And I know there are so many worthy causes in abundance, but God led us to Poland. He revealed to us the faces and the needs of the little ones in that orphanage there. And that's where I think Carolina is sending us back to help. But I need your help to do it. Our family is asking you, your family, to come alongside. And we have started something really small. It's just called Kisses from Carolina to help other families with the cost of the adoption. And I'm getting choked up here with this perpetual lump in my throat because it just keeps getting more emotional. When I shared this with Nick at the agency that we use, St. Mary International Adoption Agency, he wanted to start a grant in Carolina's name. He said, I love this idea. It's long overdue. We need this. Carolina is special. And yes, there's no question she would want to do this as well. So his idea was to start a fund that's ongoing, to start a St. Mary International Adoption grant with her name on it. So I saw that yesterday and forget it. I was just sobbing because he wrote that 17 years from now, she could look back and see the lives that she impacted, the people that she brought together, the children, the families. And, you know, I don't know where we'll be 17 years from now. I've learned not to think that far in advance as we prepare for this 8-hour test at the Children's Hospital that's going to assess her intelligence. And I am dreading that whole experience because we know that she has global developmental delays and autism and all the labels that go on with it. But more than that, I know that I love my daughter, who she is today and who she will become. And so to think even 10 years ahead or that far in advance and the impact that she could make, I mean, it just is almost too much because we just try to get through the day, you know, but I celebrate that because God is the one that plants these dreams in our hearts and in our minds. And so I want to tell you what we're doing. This is called Kisses for Carolina, and I'm just asking for you to consider donating, and it will directly go to a family waiting to adopt from St. Mary International Adoption Agency. And so I like that because I have control over it. There's ownership with your dollars. You know that they are directly being given to a fund that has been prayed over. No one is getting any other percentage. 0% is going anywhere else other than 100% proceeds to the families who need it. And adoption is pricey. When we entered this process, there was no way we felt it would be humanly possible for us to adopt. The only way that it happened was because of friends and sometimes perfect strangers that came alongside us and said, we believe in life. We believe in the priceless gift of a ransomed soul. And so we want to support you. And it's not me projecting something. I believe that God gave me the vision that this is what my daughter is asking. So you'll see in the show notes, I just put a little thing and it says Kisses to Carolina. So in it, you can read more about our story. You can see pictures about little Linky Lou. And you can see also the link to the St. Mary Fund, which I'm so grateful and honored that they would take the time to create a separate fund. And all of it's going to go into the same place. And for our adoption, I'm just going to lay it out there and tell you, it cost about $40,000. Now, it's different for everybody. We already had 3 children and a family, which does increase the cost because every paperwork has to be notarized. You have to get medical tests and an FBI dossier. So ours was a little bigger because we had more people in our family. And for some, when you have to go to Poland for 6 weeks, they may take their family over with them. That's going to cost more money. It was just my husband and I, and then I ended up going back early. It's all part of it. As I look back now, I see that we were being carried through completely. And I know people who have gone through a crisis or have spent long term in hospitals. You look back and say, I don't even know how we did it, but God carried us through and people were there every step of the way. And that's what we want to try to do now for those who are wading into the process. And if we are believers in life, if we are believers in the dignity and the potential and the promise of every human being, then something like Kisses from Carolina is just a small expression of that. So that's how we're going to do it. June 30th is her 7th birthday. So for a month, we're going to keep it open and active and really talk about it and I guess promote it, for a lack of a better word. Even if you can't give, I understand that. I just ask that you pray. I see the heart of my daughter and the miracle of the family that God created through this gift of adoption and our yes, which was really scary at the time. And so those families who have said their yes, I want to make sure that they know that they are not alone. We are a people of community. And so in honor of Carolina and her birthday, that's what we're asking. In lieu of any gift, we just ask that you might consider blessing another life. And I thought if 10 people give $100, we're there. And that can go directly to a family. When you adopt, so the cost can be anywhere from, I don't even know the latest stats, because when we adopted, it's been 6 years, but it could be anywhere from 18 to the high end might be 35, 40,000. And then you get reimbursed. There's an adoption credit that you get. And I want to stress, this is for international adoptions. So you'll get a check from the IRS, and I think ours was about $13,000 back. So that was a huge blessing. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for listening. And again, I invite you just even do a search or check out the show notes. And you can also check out my social media platforms. Everything will be there for the next month. Please consider sharing it. It's Kisses from Carolina and an opportunity to help a waiting family and that child waiting for a mom and dad in Poland.
It's Brooks
House.
Ow. It's Brooks
House.
Well, come on in. We've got endings and new beginnings going on in Brooks' house right now. We've got Vivian, our foreign exchange student from China, with all her suitcases that she's pulled up and out.
Oh, wow.
She's getting ready to go back home for the summer, and her family's actually going to be traveling to Australia for the entire... Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
What? She's this world traveler, and then she's going to come back in August and finish out her senior year. So that's exciting. It's a little bit bittersweet.
Sure.
We're sending her off. The kids are wrapping up school, and we've got the beginning of summer, so I'm trying to do the whole bins. Get the winter clothes out, get the summer clothes, the sizes. It's taking forever, but we're taking a break right now to visit with my good friend.
Hello.
Linda Isaiah in the house.
Hello, 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 everybody.
Welcome. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel pretty good today. I do. I felt good yesterday, too.
Well, last time you were on the show, we did some girl talk, and you spoke about working out, exercising. You're always drinking your tea every day.
Yes, and I worked out this morning. I got up early.
Good
for
you.
I got that walk in before I came.
Today, we're going to talk about love.
Love.
You drifted off.
Love.
There's so many emotions. Because in the beginning of the show, I said you and Errol celebrated 35 years. That's actually 36
years. 36 years.
Anniversary.
Every year. I need every year. Yeah.
And Jim and I are celebrating 17 years of marriage. And so the scripture we did was the love verse, the 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
And I pulled it up here to read. That is how I thought we could kind of set the stage here.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It does not rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's a lot.
It sure is. And after 36 years, I don't think I got all that right yet.
But is there...
Does the scripture really say that?
All of that?
All of that endures all things.
Yeah.
Hopes all things.
But you know, I always stop right after the first. Love is patient.
Yes.
Because that's it's Old Testament, where we hear about the quality of God, and God is slow to anger.
Yes, yes.
And if we are to imitate him, if we love God, we need to be able to be slow to anger and patient. Is there one quality in there that you think is most important? I know it's the sum of its parts, all of it. Or one that you struggle with the most?
Well, you know what I was thinking about, because I used to coordinate weddings, and that was that's the scripture everybody would read, the love scripture. And I would be sitting there thinking, they don't have any idea what they're talking about. You know, I think about the love endures all things.
Yeah.
I can be very irritated and quick. You know, can we get on with it? My husband is he's somewhat picky about not what he eats, but how it's prepared. And he doesn't want it this way. He wants this in a bowl. And I'm like, just put it in a plate, especially if I'm serving it. So I get irritated, and he always says, honey, can't you just make it the way I want it?
Yeah. So it's both, right?
Yes.
It's giving and mercy, and on
it's
both
mercy
sides.
On both sides. It is. It's both. And then, you know, I was thinking when you said something about this topic, I said, you know, as women, though, we have to live in our own realities in our marriages. Every marriage is different. And nobody has an Ozzie and Harriet marriage, even though we look at that stuff on TV, which we need to stop watching. Mm-hmm. And it has this image of what your life should be like. Nobody has that life, okay?
Yeah.
Nobody goes to bed with makeup on and wakes up with makeup on and breath
except
smelling
maybe Dolly
well.
Parton, but that's...
But yes, right. You know, or Mariah Carey or somebody. But that's not real life. We're talking with women who have real life issues mm-hmm. that they struggle with every day. That I love my husband, but sometimes I don't like him.
Yeah.
And is that okay? And does that make me a bad wife or not a good Christian because I don't like him?
Yeah, and I also think, too, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions or expectations that we might think as the years go on, it gets easier, and maybe it does. But I think we talked about it in the last program you were with us, mm-hmm. change, that there are different seasons of our life, and each comes with change and growing pains.
Yes.
And you might have days and sweet spots.
Yeah, that's what we call sweet spots. I like that word. Or tastes of joy. There are moments in your marriage when you'll just be together. You'll just move like in an orchestra. You just move together. You know, they talk about at the beginning when the orchestra tunes up, they sound horrible because everybody's playing something different. But then when they come together, it's a beautiful sound. Well, sometimes that's how marriage is.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, one day you kind of gel and the other days you're off. And we have to be okay with that. And we have to say, it's okay.
You've had a lot of funerals lately.
Yes, ma'am.
In your church and with your grief ministry.
Right.
And I'm wondering, as you encounter so many couples and you see this conclusion of their vows, is there one thing that you see repeatedly that they regret or they celebrate? What takeaway, as we look at the bookend, you know, this final product of well done, good and faithful servant, that you see maybe that's enriched your life about marriage?
I think one thing that I see is the women, because that seems to be, husbands seem to die before the women, they seem to leave wishing things were always different, better, and more. Wish they had did more. Wish they had have been kinder. Wish they had have enjoyed him more, even though he picked his toes and he burped and did all that stuff.
You know what's really funny?
Yeah, yeah.
After my dad passed, my mom said, you know, there's no gas in heaven. And
Well, thank God.
But, you know,
thank you, Jesus. Because you know what? I tell you what, I think about, because, you know, when I first got married, my husband took me to his aunt's house. And so, she wanted me to see her bedroom. And she took me into this beautiful blue room. And she said, this is my bedroom. And I thought, oh, how awful. You don't sleep with your husband?
Oh, because they had,
that's every bedroom, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, they had been married probably 40 years or so. And so, of course, now I've been married 36 years. I'm in line for my own bedroom, okay?
You see, there's wisdom.
I see it now. I didn't understand it then. I understand the separate bedroom. And we can still come together for the important things, but he go to the other room.
But you do, because some people, there's really bad snoring. I know.
Snoring. Really?
And there's a lot of things.
Yeah,
and
my
you
husband
need to get
has a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
Play with it all night. And
but it's real. Like you said, the warts and all.
It's real. But so I didn't marry him expecting a CPAP machine. But love endures all things.
That's right.
It hopes all things. It believes all things.
Yes. It's not Ozzy and Harry.
It's not Ozzy and Harry. Don't flush toilets. All that you deal with. And so, but I think the other piece, when you talk about women who are grieving, I think a lot of them had reached a point in their marriage where they were okay with where they were at. He was okay. She was okay.
When you talk about, especially the early years of marriage, when you're just trying to hit your stride and you're realizing, wow, his body makes a lot of noises. I'm, changing all these different things. I may not be the wife that I thought I was or could be because I'm not good at house cleaning or different things like that, that we just realize is part of life and marriage and the beauty of this unfolding story.
But because of the fall of man, it is this way and it's not going to be perfect.
But there is such power in enduring. I just pulled up this quote.
Ma'am.
It's a St. Augustine quote, and it says, the greater the danger in battle, the greater the joy in victory. So when you've been through it, when you've been in the trenches, and you come out victorious as a couple, that is so powerful. And Satan wants our marriages. He goes after that cell of the family. And so I just wonder any advice you might have for those struggling in their marriage.
Well, I tell you what, as a Christian woman, you have to know who you're fighting, and you're not fighting your husband in his smells and his burps. You're fighting the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And once you get on track and you realize that he's not the enemy, it changes your perspective of the relationship. And then once you realize that you're not perfect and you got smells too,
yes,
even though he probably don't even smell them, but but you got smells too, and you have issues too, then it changes your perspective of what you're dealing with. Unless you're dealing with, and we talked a little earlier about infidelity, which takes you to a whole nother level. That pain, that betrayal is so different. And there's a numbing, and there's an anger, and there's an uncertainty, and there is such... It's almost like a tsunami. It just rushes up on you and you don't know where to go. Do I stay? Do I leave? Do I throw a brick at him? What do I do? That is a different kind of struggle. But for those of us who are dealing with what I consider everyday life stuff, we got to know who we're dealing with and who we married. We picked him and know that there are days you guys are going to gel and other days you won't. And it's okay. It's okay. And he's not you. Men don't think like we think. They're not deep thinkers for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of go to work, come back, hey, babe, what's going on? You know what I'm saying?
And some are, you know, some are deep contemplatives or poetic. But I love that. I love my husband's strength. And if I'm feeling weak, he's always strong. He's always there to be the rock.
Right.
And I think that to me has been the most powerful gift, many powerful gifts. He's always giving. He's always concerned about, are you okay? It's funny how men can be very intuitive. They can tell when a woman is not happy. What's the matter? And then I don't know nothing. Because I never want to, I don't want to ever get into an argument. I feel like if I'm bothered by something, my personality is I just like to work it through silently. Yeah. But it never works because he knows.
He knows you.
And I love that because he won't let me get away with it. He wants to get in there, root it out, clean it out like a root canal.
Right. That's painful.
Yes.
But you're right. You're right. I mean, my husband, he knows me. He knows when I'm hurting. He knows when somebody's offended.
And when you need
church.
To stop.
He knows when I need
can
to
do
stop.
That. Yeah.
And he'll pull me aside and say, you know, that's enough. He knows when I'm not, when people haven't paid me enough for my services. He gets irritated about that. He feels like I don't get the worth that I deserve, that I put myself down and he picks me up. He's my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
He's my biggest cheerleader. And I wouldn't want anybody else, even with the CPAP machine and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want anybody else.
Yeah.
Because I know one thing, at the end of the day, he's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care what
for 36 years.
For 36 years. Don't care what we go through. He's going to be there.
I have this book. It's really nice. It's called Love and Marriage, and it's an apostolic exhortation written by Pope Francis called Amoris Laetitia, The Joy of Love. And he talks about even listening is an act of love. And I think that for guys, and I don't see it's always hard because I feel like men are so maligned in our society.
Yeah.
And they are treated like they're children.
Right.
But, I mean, they are the foundation, the bedrock,
right.
You know?
Right.
And so, but I do think as God in his wisdom has made men and women differently, I see that act of love because sometimes my husband's saying, get to the point, but he's sticking with me. He's
yes.
listening.
Yes.
And do you think that women are better listeners than men? Or
well,
just depends.
It depends. My husband's a better listener than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a good listener when it comes to my friends, but I'm not a good listener when it comes to him. Because I don't know. He just be talking, and I'm like, okay, get to the point. But he's a better listener. He's a great mm-hmm. listener when it comes to me. He will listen and listen and listen. He really will. He's good.
That's a gift.
It is. It is a gift, and I know it's a gift. Women can be good listeners. It just depends on who you're listening to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So I had a point, and you were saying something, and I thought about it, but it left me. But
you'll think of it after you
I'll
leave.
Yes. Because you're saying something about
the book
and
listening.
And listening.
The joy of love.
The joy of love. I know Gary Chapman talks about the 5 love languages. I don't know if anybody's ever read that. And so we're kind of in the middle of some of that at 36 years, trying to bring some things back to life or do some new things. Maybe we can't bring back what we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's gone.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to do some new stuff. So we're in my marriage, we're trying to do new things, you know.
What about for the single ladies? And I mean single ladies of all ages have not been treated well by men or are just looking and waiting, waiting for the right guy. What's a good piece of advice regarding love?
Waiting is difficult. The Bible says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up like wings of eagle. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And if you wait properly, you get energy, you get strength. But when you don't wait properly, you're exhausted and you're tired because you're fighting against whatever it is that you need to be waiting for and let God do whatever he needs to do. If you're single, you need to wait for God to bless you with a husband. Do not go out on your own and pick somebody. Marriage is a serious, serious issue. And once you enter into it, it's easy to enter into, but it is hard to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain and the grief, because the Bible says the two become one flesh, and when that one flesh is together, and so when there's a divorce, there's actual a physical ripping of your flesh away from each other.
Wow.
So if you're single, I'm asking you to wait. If you're widowed and you're lonely, I would say you need to get involved, because what's active in something when you're married, you're not as involved because you're all your focus is around your husband, your children, now your grandchildren and all that. Well, now that nobody get into a seniors group, start a Bible study at home, start a book club at home. You've had the resources, you have the time, get out there, get involved. You know, these are stages in life that we're going to go through as women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is just another stage. If it's widowhood for you, if you've chosen to live a single life, give your life to the Lord. I was in a meeting yesterday at my church, and one of the girls said that she had the gift of freedom because she's single. She free. I say, ain't that the truth? She's free because she doesn't have to answer to anybody. She doesn't have to worry about a schedule. It's just her. So she gives herself, she has committed to give herself to the work of the Lord. And I just thought,
if more
awesome.
People would do that,
that's
you know,
awesome.
What a world we would have.
Right.
It's been really neat in some ways with our foreign exchange student to have these discussions with her because there is no faith background and you really have to build an idea of what the meaning of life is when God is removed from the equation.
Yeah.
And so for some, like her ideal is someone rich in New York City because that denotes success, status, freedom to a point, and, you know, probably no children. And so it's been interesting to see the transformation of this beautiful young girl and thinking maybe not, maybe that's empty. She actually has a friend, a young woman who is not even 18 and has had a nervous breakdown. She was living in New York City by herself.
Mm.
And that all was on her shoulders, you know, this young foreign exchange student. And I don't say this in a way that's gossipy. I just say it in, as we are all on this journey learning.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of the freedom to give yourself
freedom.
Wholly
the
and completely.
Freedom.
And I think
freedom.
Anytime we're living freedom. In our vocation,
yes.
whether it is the heart of being a wife or a mom or all of those things, it's roses and thorns. I'm experiencing that right now. My youngest is going to be going to school. I feel like now, what's my purpose? But my purpose hasn't changed.
No, it has not, honey.
And so just to rest in that and celebrate. No, it's not going to change
right.
for a long time.
It's not going to change for a long time. And it's just that he's going to school now, and that gives you some more time to do some things maybe that you want to do, or even take care of yourself more and have some time with the Lord. But one thing that I admire about the Catholic faith is that they dedicate, that the priests and the nuns dedicate themselves to the full-time ministry. Brooke knows, it just blows me away. When I'm in the presence of Father Jay and
Father Nathan.
Father Nathan, I'm in awe that you would sacrifice all the stuff that this world offers, the junk, because really, ladies, it's nothing. Junk, homes, cars, pleasures, to give yourself away for the Lord and to help people. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me.
That's a powerful lesson, more so than the world can teach.
Oh, my gosh.
And I am preparing for this trip to the Holy Land, and so I've been doing a lot of research.
That.
It's exciting.
It looks exciting.
But I'm also looking at the soil of the Holy Land and Judea and Galilee, you know, just the whole region. And I'm thinking, this is almost like a foreign world planet compared to where we live.
Exactly.
I'm looking at the people, the Orthodox Jews and the ringlets, the curls that they have, and the landscape of this place. And I think my Savior, the God of the universe who came down in flesh, is a Middle Eastern man, you know, would have been, was. And
he's not Western.
Right.
Yes.
And so I think about that, just the whole human family. I think about that with Vivian, how different the Holy Land is from China and the people and the traditions. And I thought, do I really know the God that I think I know, the Jesus Christ that I think I know, that I want to memorize every word he said and know everything about him? And then I think when I saw those images of the Holy Land and was watching, it was a Rick Steves video, really good. He does the PBS stuff. And I think that's why it's so important to go there and walk that land. Because we kind of only know the framework of the bubble that we live in.
That's right.
And I mean, we've learned so much from each other.
Yes. When I think about that and I think about how we live every day and the stuff that we have, I mean, I get into this thing with stuff because, well, I went to South Africa 2 years ago. It would have been week I was in South Africa 2 years ago. They tell you don't take any jewelry or anything. And I had some nice pieces, so I left them at home. But when I went over there and I saw the poverty of the people, of my people, and the pain and the struggle, it broke my heart. So I had taken some costume jewelry over there and left in my room, a big bag of it. Mm-hmm. Some of it was my mom's, and I wanted her to have a piece of South Africa, so I left it over there. But when I came back home, I took all of my diamonds and gold and all that stuff and put it in a bag, and I have not worn it in 2 years.
Mm. The gifts we give to our children really are our faith.
Our faith.
Because whether you are alone in a big city or you are in South Africa or the Holy Land, we encounter Christ. Yeah. But to give our children the eyes to see and the ears to hear him.
That's right.
Is the most important thing.
It is, because they only see Jesus through us.
Right.
You know, and then when you look at your relationship in marriage, our children see Christ. That's an example of Christ and how we treat our mates, how we treat each other, how we interact. Are we having prayer time, devotion time? And I'm not trying to beat anybody up because we don't have a devotion time, but we do have prayer time. And when we go to church, then we get home and we ask my son, Errol, well, what'd you think about the message? Because he's always listening. And he said, well, I like what Bishop said, but I didn't like this and I don't like this. And so we have a chance to talk about it, to see where he is in his faith, because he's got to walk his faith out.
Right.
He can't walk minds out for me. I have to walk minds out, and I'm praying that he makes the decision to want to walk it out.
I want to ask before we wrap up about that, in terms of being unequally yoked. We talk about what we're giving our children, but you do see with husbands and wives that one may be further along, and that can be a area of frustration.
Sure.
It can also be an area of inspiration where we inspire the other. But how do you handle that? Because you do a lot of counseling. You see a lot of people in a pastoral capacity in your church, the unequally yoked aspect.
Well, let me say, first of all, ladies, the Bible says that you should not marry an unbeliever. Now, I don't know where that scripture's at, but it's in there. I know that. You should not marry an unbeliever. And an unbeliever is anyone who does not believe what you believe about the word of God and in the spirit. Okay. So you should not marry them. When you marry someone that doesn't believe what you believe, they don't go to church, they're not Christians, they're not Catholic, whatever it is that you believe, you're going to have some struggles. You're going to have struggles anyway in marriage. Why add that? So if you're already married and you married somebody that doesn't know Christ, and most of the times we're not on the same level spiritually, then you still step up to the plate, love your husband well, and teach your child. Because most of the teaching that goes on in the home, it goes from mama does the teaching. Mm-hmm. She does the learn. She sees these teachable moments and she says, oh, this is a moment for me to teach him something. Dad takes those other pieces like cutting grass and, you know, I need to teach you how to wash a car. This is how you wash a car. You don't wash it that way. Right. You clean it out too. You do the whole job. But I believe that moms have the time and I believe they have the nurturing ability to teach their children how to love God and how to come to know Jesus. That is the best gift you can give your child, and it's the best, it's the one of the most important jobs that you have. You don't feel important today. You feel depressed today. You feel down. You're tired of doing laundry, tired of cooking. You're tired of the mundane. Just know that what you do is important when you speak a life and to those babies. You could be looking at a Pope Francis. You could be looking, teaching a Bishop Johnson. You could be teaching a Brooke Taylor or Linda Isaiah. You don't know what you're, what you have. It's worth it.
And you are the heart of the home.
Yes, you're the heart of the home. I agree.
I know you have to go. You have your grief meeting.
Yes, I do. I have a grief meeting.
This book, as I wrap up, I just thought was good. In the last page, this book, Love and Marriage, talks about to sit in prayer, to think about your spouse, and quietly in your heart say, I want to thank you for, I am sorry, and please. And those elements, thank you, I'm sorry, and please. Fill in the blank of what that would be. And I do too, because we talked about this on the program that you were in. It stayed with me. You spoke about it at the Arise retreat where you wrote a letter to the daughter that you had always wanted. And that was a part of you grief in the grieving process. And I think that this similarly gives us closure, but also reminds us of the gift we have in our spouse to be able to say, I want to thank you for, and really think about that, and to apologize for the ways that we have fallen short.
Yeah. I'm always apologizing. I was apologizing last night. I said, I'm just so sorry I can be so difficult.
But that's, you can't be underestimated.
Right. And he just smiles and he says, oh, honey, don't worry about it. I know I'm picky too. And then he says, Linda, all we have is each other. When kids are up, all we have is each other. Mm-hmm. We have to take care of each other. That's all I have is you. And all you have is me. So look at my big toe. That's what he said at the kitchen table. Look at my big toe.
Oh, was it injured?
Oh, I don't know. He bumped it or something. I was like, I don't want to do this.
All we have is each other. All we have for Christmas, I'm giving you a separate bag.
Yes. But I love you. I love you and forgive me. I apologize all day long because I know I can be difficult. I come out of a difficult background. And
I think we all can,
you know,
though.
And I, you know, and
we
I
have
just,
our days.
We do. And I just have to pray. I say, go for a walk or get a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And I did tell him, I said, honey, I think I just want to be alone. I don't want to talk. And he wanted to talk. And you know how that is, lady. Sometimes they don't want to talk. And you are like, I don't feel like talking right now. Mm-hmm. Then my husband wants to talk. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm not thinking right now.
Yeah.
You know, so. But yeah, I think that's great at the end. What am I thankful for? What does your mate mean to you? It doesn't hurt for you to say that and then to put it on a piece of paper. I used to put notes in my husband's lunchbox when he went to work, a letter, just to say to him, I thought about you today and praying for you, and I'd put it in there. I need to get back to doing some of those things.
We never outgrow seeing a heart or a smiley face or a sunshine or an I love you.
Right.
So I think that's a beautiful idea.
Yeah, I do.
Thanks,
too.
Linda.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Wow, what a show. Thank you to my friend Linda Isaiah again for being part of the program. Thank you for considering listening and hopefully supporting Kisses from Carolina. All the details again will be in the show notes. Also on my own social media, just simply asking for your prayers.
for the endeavor, possibly to spread the word, and if you can, to consider helping a family adopt and bring their children home so their empty arms are filled with this child who will be forever in their heart. Thank you also to my dear buddy, Father Nathan Cromley. I had said he was going to be on the program this episode to talk about patience. He graciously is waiting until episode 101 to talk about that with a brand new Padre in Your Pocket feature. I knew with everything we had coming up on today's show with Linda and this new initiative that I wanted to give him the spotlight he so deserves. So he's going to be on episode 101. The next show is going to be with the one and only Jeff Cavins. He's going to join me to celebrate our big milestone program. We're going to talk about Bible literacy and illiteracy, how to study scripture, why it's so important. So you don't want to miss that show as well. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire. For any of your production needs, reach out to him at cumminghomestudio.com. You want to start your own podcast? He's got you covered. And if you like what you hear, please consider leaving a positive review on iTunes. It would help us out. Consider becoming a Podbean patron like Chaya and Lisa and Anna and Jenny and the Haddock family and so many other of our faithful good friends to the program that keep this show going. And we're just grateful. So just click on Become a Patron in the show notes, and you can find out more also on podbean.com/goodthingsradio. May the God of love, who is slow to anger and rich in kindness, grace us to imitate him in these qualities and have the strength to live it out, and above all, to love. Until next time, friends, peace and love to you. God bless you.